Our message today comes from the book of Proverbs and is entitled Real Friendship. There is no scripture reading because we're going to be reading numerous scriptures throughout the book of Proverbs. Most people want and desire to have a real friend, someone who knows them and is always there and dependable no matter what is going on in their lives. Yet real friendship is rare, and that's nothing new. Solomon observed in Proverbs some 3,000 years ago that true friendship is exceedingly rare. Proverbs 26 says, "Many will say they are loyal friends, but who can find one who is truly reliable?" C.S. Lewis, one of the greatest Christian thinkers of our age, reflects on friendship in the fourth chapter of his book, The Four Loves, and observes, just like Proverbs does, that friendships are rare. Lewis wrote, "Few value it because few experience it." Based upon his reading and research, Tim Keller, the founding pastor of Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York City, points out that friendship is never considered the most important relationship in any culture. It's always a secondary relationship. In traditional cultures, family is the primary relationship. In totalitarian and communist countries, the civic relationship to the state is seen as most important. And we see that today clearly in China and North Korea. In the individualistic cultures of the West, the romantic sexual relationship is talked about as the most primary relationship. Rarely is friendship talked about as the most significant. An exception to that maybe was the TV show Friends, which ran from 1994 to 2004. And for the last 9 years of its run, it was always in the top five of Nielsen's rating. Its theme song was, amongst the six main Friends, "I'll Be There for You." Friendship in our culture, though, is usually seen as a secondary relationship, not just in our culture, but in most cultures. Most of our relationships might be more properly called acquaintances. They happen when work or a neighborhood or some kind of hobby brings us together. They are more relationships of convenience. We interact with them and need them just to do life. When circumstances pull us apart, then those acquaintances end. They don't survive not being in the same place together. As a pastor, I've gotten to know many different people. But when I leave a church, there are very few people that I really stay in contact with after that, that I become a close personal friend. The extreme mobility of our culture makes real friendship a challenge. We move to different locations so easily now. And you probably have noticed the older you get, the harder it is to make new friends. People now have their own established routine, and it is more difficult to become a close personal part of their lives. Proverbs is part of the Old Testament books known as the wisdom literature. It's a book about wisdom, and we define wisdom as the ability to deal with life competently in a way that brings healthy results. And Proverbs tells us that we need real friends to do that. So first, let's look at, one, the importance of real friendship. Proverbs talks about this in both positive and negative ways. The foolish perish for the lack of friends, and the wise find real friends. Speaking about the lack of friends, Proverbs says, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruins." That's Proverbs 18:24a. The first verse of that chapter adds, in other words, the lack of real friends leaves a person isolated and may lead to loneliness, depression, poor perspectives, and bad decisions. We all crave some degree of intimacy in our lives, and without it, we will miss out on the best life has to offer. And friendship is meant to be a prime source of intimacy. I believe that in the best marriages, the spouses will have really good friends beyond their marriage. And I think Proverbs is telling that us also. The book of Ecclesiastes is part of the wisdom literature in the Old Testament and was also written by Solomon. And it really speaks about the importance of friendship in dealing with the challenges of life. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toll. If they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. If two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. And that comes from Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 to 12. In many places, Proverbs talks about the wisdom of having many trusted counselors. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed, Proverbs 15:22. The importance of friends is also seen in Proverbs' warning to choose your friends carefully. Who we hang out with and let into our lives can have a profound impact on the outcome of our lives that are both good and bad. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. That's found in 12:26. That's why parents are often concerned about who their child's friends are. Their friends can lead them to trouble or do something really stupid that maybe they would not do if they weren't encouraged by their so-called friends. Good parents often see something that their children don't realize and are not ready to understand the impact of their choice of friends may have on them. The same kind of warning is given several times. Don't make friends with anyone who has a bad temper. You might turn out like them and get caught in a trap. That's Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. Finally, the importance of friends is seen in Proverbs when Solomon compares friendship with family relationships. Friendship is unique compared to a family and sibling relationships. Returning to Proverbs 18, Solomon writes, "But a real friend sticks closer than a brother." And Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born to help in the time of need." What is Solomon saying there? Think about it. You do not have a choice in the family you're born into. You're stuck with what you get. You're fortunate if you're born into a family that is healthy and has a good set of values, but you also can be born into a family situation that is extremely dysfunctional. You may not even like your family, parents, or siblings, but you're still stuck with them. Haven't you all known some families where the siblings have nothing to do with the parents or each other? And at the same time, when adversity strikes because of another person or a situation, a sibling or a parent will come together to help their blood kin when they are in trouble. There are a lot of movies out there that follow that kind of theme. They're born into a relationship but have little real connection in everyday life but get drawn into one another in adversity. But a friend is someone different. Friendships, as we just said earlier, are chosen. If you don't like someone, you won't choose them to be your friend. May not want to spend time with your family, but you always want to hang out with a real friend. If distance separates them, they continue to reach out and stay in touch. They work to maintain that relationship. They're always loyal and are always there, both in everyday life and in the good times and the bad times. Someone is really blessed when they find close friendship within family members. They get the best of both worlds. This idea that friends are chosen leads us to the next category. Second, the basis of real friendship. J.R. Tolkien's trilogy, The Lord of the Rings, is really about friendship. If you haven't read it, you should read it or at least see the movies. It really is a classic. The first book in the trilogy is called The Fellowship of the Ring. And what happened? A truly diverse group of people come together for a common purpose, to destroy the Ring of Power before their common enemy, Sauron, the personification of evil, can get a hold of the ring. Many of these individuals don't like or trust each other in the beginning. Dwarves don't trust elves. Elves don't trust dwarves, so Gimli the dwarf and Legolas the elf struggle with one another. Neither of them like nor fully trust the man Boromir. Hobbits are such small and unique creatures that in the beginning most don't know what to make of them. Frodo, Sam, Merry, and Pippin hardly seem suited for war or a real adventure. And of course there is the wizard Gandalf, and he sees everything differently than the others. And then there is the mysterious Aragorn, who is also known as Strider, who is wrapped in mystery until his true identity and character is revealed later in the book. And as they unite around this common purpose to destroy the ring and continue on their journey, their respect for and friendship with one another grows deeper and deeper. Friendship is built around a common interest that draws and holds them together through all the difficulties in their journeys, and in sharing life, they become close and trusted friends. Proverbs talks about the sweetness of friendship. The Message version expresses it this way: "Just as lotions and fragrance give sensual delight, a sweet friendship refreshes the soul." Proverbs 27:9. Something that is pleasing or attractive to you draws you toward it. A common interest, a common passion will draw you into a friendship with another, and that is the basis for a strong friendship. The best friendships often happen because one is looking at something else. Going back to C.S. Lewis and his writings on friendship in The Four Loves, he says, "That is why those pathetic people who simply want friends can't never make any. The very condition of having friends is that we should want something else besides friends." In other words, there is a passion for something else. He goes on to say the typical expression of a beginning of a friendship would be something like this: "What? You too? I thought I was the only one." A new friendship is often a surprise when you find someone you didn't expect has the same passion. Friendship is then discovered when you find someone else with that same kind of passion you have. Such a common interest could be very ordinary, like the love of football, gardening, or trains, or travel. You both make the interest a priority in life, and you end up spending much time together. And that bond provides the foundation to really get to know someone. Or it may be something of greater significance, like caring for the poor, or your faith in Jesus, or some aspect of social reform. Real friendship is usually built and forged upon a shared interest or value that is at its foundation. First, we talked about the importance of real friendship. Second, we looked at the basis of real friendship. Next, Proverbs describes the character of real friendship. You know, real friendship takes work, and real friendship is mutual. It's a two-way street in which parties seek to support one another. One has to work at it in the sense of investing time and energy. And Proverbs lays out some of the characteristics of a friendship that is real and significant. Availability is a mark of real friendship. We go back to Proverbs 17:17a that says, a friend loves at all times, all times. And Proverbs 18:24b says, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. In other words, you can count on them to make themselves available, do good times and during hard times, to help out or just to be present with you, whatever you need. When the chips are down, they will be there right beside you. Friendship requires an investment of time and energy. If you're not willing to do that, it's not really friendship, but only a relationship of convenience. And when it's not convenient, you abandon them or are abandoned by them. Proverbs warns against these fair-weather friends in numerous places. Many beg favors from a man who is generous. Everyone is his friend. But when you are down on your luck, a man's own brothers turn away from him in embarrassment. How much more his friends? He calls after them, but they are gone. Proverbs 19, verses 6 and 7. Fair-weather friends. Honesty is another mark of real friendship. Maybe you've had this thought, or maybe you've heard someone say something like this: I didn't say anything because I didn't want to hurt them. You avoid saying something difficult or very necessary because you knew it would be difficult and painful, so you just avoid it. That's not being honest. Solomon says this about real friendship: a genuinely good friend will openly correct you. You can trust a friend who corrects you, but kisses from an enemy are nothing but lies. Proverbs 27, verses 5 and 6. If you really care about a person, you won't avoid the difficult conversations when someone needs to be said. The motivation there is one of love and care. They want the best for you, warning. When you understand that is their motivation, you're willing to listen. Proverbs gives a warning about those who will not speak honestly with his friend or neighbor. The same Hebrew word used for either friend is used for either friend or neighbor. In rural agrarian societies, you were much more dependent on your neighbor, and they often became a real friend. Proverbs warn you against those who would flatter their friends or neighbors instead of speaking honestly. Flattery is insincere. It's dishonest praise in order to use or get something from another person. Instead of seeking to help someone, you're only seeking to use them instead. To flatter friends is to lay a trap for their feet, while honest people are happy and free. Proverbs 29, verses 5 to 6. And you can trust them not to share your personal secrets and mistakes with others. That's a form of honesty, to respect your privacy. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. That's in chapter 16, verse 28. Real friendship is built upon good counsel. The heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense. Proverbs 27, 9. If you really consider someone a real friend, you're going to be honest with them. And in turn, the words they offer you are going to encourage you and cheer you on. And if they have real understanding of the issues being talked about, their counsel will really help you deal with the situation. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Proverbs 27:17. They're going to give you the counsel you need to help you deal with life or the situation you're in. And if they don't know what should be done, they're going to tell you that and suggest you find someone else, pointing you in the right direction to find it. Finally, real friendship will be tactful. They will have a keen sense of what is appropriate. They'll know when to speak the direct, honest word and when it is best to back off and just encourage you. Solomon expresses this idea in many ways. Humorously, he writes in Proverbs 27:14, "You might as well curse your friends as wake them up early in the morning with a loud greeting." You're not going to come on strong or seek to have a heavy conversation when someone is tired or otherwise preoccupied or just woke up. You're going to seek to find an appropriate moment to have the conversation. Have you ever been tired or worn out or just kind of down in the dumps and a friend or family member comes in bright and cheery expecting you to feel and respond the same way? Friendship will be built upon an emotional sensitivity to know when to challenge and to know when to just encourage and support. Singing light songs to the heavy-hearted is like pouring salt in their wombs, Solomon says in Proverbs 25:20. Have you ever really been sad or feeling depressed and someone comes along and tells you to snap out of it or tells you to lighten up and you feel like you just want to tell them to go away? Ever happened to you? A true friend is going to know how to emotionally connect to you in the right way. There are times when you don't need to be challenged about what you did wrong because they know you understand that. So the right response in that situation is to extend grace and forgiveness rather than harping on what was wrong. Love forgets mistakes. Nagging about them parts the best of friends. Chapter 17, verse 9. And there's a difference between being codependent and being a real friend. They are not going to demand your time and attention all the time. They're going to give you space to live your own life. You'll have time together, but there'll be respect for you to do your own thing also. They won't wear you out with their constant demands. The Message version says it this way, and when you find a friend, don't outwear your welcome. Show up at all hours, and he will soon get fed up. Proverbs 25:17. Ben Franklin said it this way, guests are like fish. They stink after 3 days. It's pretty clear that real friendship takes work. There's going to be learning involved if you've never seen a healthy friendship modeled for you. So it will take grace and patience to build a good friendship because there'll be times when a real friend lets you down. That's when love and real friendship will overlook the mistakes. And that brings us to our final observation about friendship. You know, every truth in the Old Testament points to Jesus. The Old and New Testaments are not separate books. God doesn't act differently in each section. His values are always the same and are always pointing to the same end, Jesus. Even our best human friends will let us down at times, but there is a friend who will never let us down. First, we talked about the importance of real friendship. Second, we looked at the basis of real friendship. Next, Proverbs describes the character of real friendship. Jesus, fourth, is the ultimate example of real friendship. God wants us to know that there is a true friend who will stick closer than any brother or friend. And Jesus shows what a real friend should be. In John 15, Jesus tells that he will empower us to love others just as he has loved us. He's given us the ultimate example of what it means to be a friend. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends, in verse 13. That's what Jesus did at the cross. He demonstrated his love and forgiveness to look past our selfishness, mistakes, and sin. And then Jesus opened up his heart to us and revealed to us everything that God wants to do in this world and in our life. He says in John 15:15, "No longer do I call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father I have made known to you." He's held nothing back from us. He's done everything for us. He's revealed God's heart for us. He's demonstrated real friendship and love. The Hebrew word for friendship means to walk together, to walk side by side. And that is what Jesus wants to do with us. He wants to walk together with us through all of life. If you think about the Psalms are always his. God is a very present help. He's walking right there with us. And he asks us to make the choice to walk with him. His whole life is a demonstration of why we should choose to walk with him in our lives. The cross is the ultimate reason we should make that choice. Jesus is the ultimate friend, and he will never betray us, nor abandon us, nor lead us down the wrong road in life. And as we experience his friendship, we will learn what it means to become a real friend. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have modeled for us what friendship is in the person of your Son, Jesus, that you demonstrated what it means to care, to love, to forgive, to walk alongside of us. Father, thank you for the wisdom that you have given to us in Proverbs about life, and this week about friendship. Father, I pray for any here who do not have real friends. I pray that you would speak into their heart and show them and bring to their attention people around them that they could build real friendship with. Give them understanding about how to go about that and how to do that, how to invest in a whole and right way. And I pray, Father, if there's any here that does not know your son Jesus as their friend, that they would look at Jesus carefully and see how much of a friend he really wants to be in all that he has done for us, laying down his life for us, teaching us, showing us, speaking honestly with us, promising to walk with us forever, never abandoning us by his Spirit. Father, thank you for all that Jesus did. So, Father, if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus as their friend, all you need to do is simply say, God, I want to know Jesus as my friend. I want to ask him to be a part of my life, that I might know your forgiveness, and I accept what he did at the cross for me, that I might be forgiven and will be loved and welcomed into your family. Thank you for what you've done for me. In Jesus Christ, in his name we pray. Amen.